T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The football frenzy. A reminder that Cousin Subs, they're back. A couple of limited time only subs meeting your sub lover expectations. Try the new chicken cordon bleu with grilled to order, all white meat chicken, ham, white cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, honey, mustard, hot ham, and cheddar deluxe as well. That features the ham, the bacon, the white cheddar cheese, the pickles, sauteed onions, tomato, mayo. Oh, so good. Both of them good. Order them online right now. CousinSubs.com. And they are for a limited time only, I might add, in case you didn't catch that. By the way, and I keep telling you this, delivery is available at select locations. So you can get those things brought right to you. Throw in some of those cheese curds or fries or cookies or salads, whatever your heart desires. That is from our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Cousin Subs is the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Time for the frenzy. Let's do this.
Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open first down, caught.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie weapon to the game.
Watch Antonio Brown, throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home, fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
We'll start out with their winless teams facing off against one another at the jungle, so to speak, in the Queen City of Cincinnati. The Cardinals on the road taking on the Bengals. Chase Edmonds takes this 37-yarder to the house.
Kyler Murray in shotgun, flanked to his left by Edmonds. They bring Keyshawn Johnson in motion. They pitch it to Edmonds, running left. He's to the 35, near side 30, breaks a tackle, and he's gone! Out the gate at the 20, the 10, touchdown! 37-yard run by Chase Edmonds, and the Cardinals extend the lead.
Cardinals go on to win that ball game, 26-23. The Bengals remain beaten. They don't have a win to their name, and that's the first win of the season for the Arizona Cardinals. Edmonds gets that carry for the touchdown. Also, Kyler Murray, 10 carries, 93 yards. He also scores a touchdown, 20 of 32, 253 yards, sacked only once. No touchdowns, no picks, not a bad day. Larry Fitzgerald, 6 catches, 58 yards. That guy just, he never gets old. Larry Fitzgerald, just so good. That was the Cardinals radio network again. The Cardinals go to 1-3-1. The Bengals now sitting at 0-5 on the season. The Bills and the Titans. Josh Allen connects with Duke, the Duker, Williams for the score.
And Allen fakes the handoff, fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Duke Williams. Touchdown, Buffalo. Duke Williams, a 7-yard touchdown catch. His first NFL touchdown, and it could not have come at a better time.
Duke Williams, the 7-yard touchdown catch, puts him up 14-7. That's the way things went in that contest. That was it. That's all she wrote. By the way, Allen goes 23 of 32, 219 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and a pick. Marcus Mariota, 13 of 22. He ends up no touchdowns, no picks, 183 yards. Brown gets 75 catches for the Buffalo Bills, by the way. Also 75 yards in that one. Williams, 4 catches, 29 yards. Has the touchdown there. That's the way things ended up. And that was on our good Bills radio network. The Bills go to 4-1. The Titans go to 2-3 on the season. And we continue to move on. The Raiders and the Bears. Josh Jacobs scores for the second time in this one.
It's a power eye look from the two. Under center. Here comes Jacobs. Jumps, dives over the top. Touchdown. Touchdown, Raiders. Celebration explodes on the sideline. Let's go down to JT.
Cars pointing to the crowd right here. He's running to the the Raiders take the lead, Brent.
Brent Musburger and the gang on the Raiders Radio Network, 24-21 after the PAT, and that's the way it ended up. The Raiders knock off the Bears for the first time in the John Gruden era. They win back-to-back games. Derek Carr, 25-32, 229 yards, and no touchdowns, no picks. Not a bad day at the office. Chase Daniel, 22-30, 231 yards, a couple of touchdowns, but also a couple of picks in that contest. That's the way it goes. By the way, Montgomery, 11 carries, 25 yards for the Bears, and a touchdown, but really they couldn't get anything running. They were giving up big plays defensively. That on the Raiders Radio Network, and that's the way things ended up there. Then you got the Buccaneers and the Saints. Teddy Bridgewater, a career day, four touchdowns on the afternoon, one to Michael Thomas.
Bridgewater takes a gun snap, quick throw, caught Mike Thomas at the five, breaks one tackle, walks into the end zone! Mike Thomas, touchdown!
And that is on the Saints Radio Network. I'll tell you what, the Saints, even with Teddy Bridgewater, with Drew Brees being down 31-24, they get the win, and they continue to press on. 26 of 34, Teddy Bridgewater was. That is an impressive day. A quarterback rating of 131.2, four touchdowns, one pick. But he was doing it all. Thomas, 11 catches, 182 yards, a couple of touchdowns on the day. By the way, our good buddy Jared Cook, of four catches, 41 yards. Yes, he got into the end zone as well. Jameis Winston couldn't follow up the performance on the 55-pointer he put up on the Rams the week prior. 15 of 27, 204 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Not a bad quarterback rating of 104.6, but beyond that, they just weren't able to muster enough to get the win. We continue on. You've also got the Vikings and the Giants. I guess if you just complain enough and say you're not getting the ball enough and things suck enough, you're going to get rewarded. Kirk Cousins connects with Adam Thielen.
Cousins, back to pass, fires to the end zone, and it's caught by Thielen. Yes! Touchdown, Adam Thielen! A 9-yard touchdown, his second today, the second from the arm of Kirk Cousins.
Paul Allen on the Vikings Radio Network, 28-10. Not a big day when it comes to a tough opponent. You got Kirk Cousins, 22 of 27. Really solid day, 306 yards, a couple of touchdowns, 138.6 quarterback rating. Adam Thielen, he said that, you know, he wasn't happy, and suddenly he gets the ball seven times, 130 yards, a couple of touchdowns. So Stephon Diggs goes four targets, by the way, three catches, 44 yards, and Dalvin Cook, 21 carries, 132 yards, 6.3 yards per carry average, 41 being the long, but he did not dent the end zone. And that's the way that thing ended up, 28-10. The Vikings get the win. They go to 3-2. The Giants fall to 2-3. We continue on. The Eagles and the Jets. Orlando Scandrick and this fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Looking. He's got all day. Now he starts to run, and he's hit. He's flattened again, and the ball comes loose. And it's picked up by Scandrick. Scandrick at the 20, at the 15, at the 10, 5. Scandrick, touchdown, Eagles. Second of the day by the defense.
He ripped the football away from the quarterback, did Orlando Scandrick, and then he just scampered down the right sideline, runs away from the big offensive lineman and into the end zone.
I never thought I'd like a Dallas Cowboy.
Well, for the moment, you like him.
The Jets stink. They just do. They're still the Jets. Le'Veon Bell held out for this. 15 carries, 43 yards, 13 being the longest, 2.9 yards per carry. He's not doing anything. Carson Wentz and company, 17 to 29, 189 yards, sacked only once, a touchdown. He had a quarterback rating of 89.6, but really it was Scandrick there rumbling, stumbling in for 44 yards out on the Eagles Radio Network, 31-6. They manhandled the New York Jets. Not really even a contest. Then you got the Ravens and the Steelers. Justin Tucker, the game winner.
A 46-yard try to make it number 14 for Tucker and to win it here in Pittsburgh in overtime. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough, and it is good! Justin Tucker with the winner! And the Ravens have won it in Pittsburgh in overtime, 26-23.
The Ravens Radio Network in desperate need of an engineer that knows about sound cracking right there. But nevertheless, Tucker puts up the field goal. Tucker, by the way, kicked a 48-yard field goal in the fourth quarter to tie that thing up, and then kicks a 46-yarder in OT to give the Ravens the win, excuse me, on the road at Heinz Field, 26-23. That's the way things finally ended up, and you've got the Ravens going to 3-2 now atop that division. The Steelers, a dismal 1-4 in that particular contest. Then you've got the Patriots and the Redskins. Sony Michel, he takes it 14 yards out. This is easy.
Michel from the offside eye takes the handoff, runs it through the right side. Sony cuts right to the five. Michel wards off a defender. A stiff arm en route to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Patriots go on to win, and that's the Patriots Radio Network. Tom Brady, 28-42, 348 yards, sacked four times, though, in this contest. Three touchdowns, one pick, a quarterback rating of 106.1. Stidham ended up seeing some time with one pass, but that was it. So don't look at those numbers. Colt McCoy, in the meantime, 18-27, 119 yards. I only throw that in there just because it's just like the Patriots could throw anybody out there right now, and they're going to walk away with a victory. And the Washington Redskins stink on ice. Colt McCoy sacked six times, threw a pick, terrible day. Coach ends up getting fired. Video surfaces that he's out partying and looks to be smoking a blunt and everything, and that's just the way it ended. So the Redskins finally put out of their misery, and the Jay Gruden experiment comes to an end. The Panthers and the Jaguars, Christian McCaffrey, he's got some wheels, 84 yards worth.
Backed up deep, handoff up the middle, McCaffrey running free, unbelievable, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 across midfield. Can someone drag him down, 20 to the 15, the 10, the 5, McCaffrey takes it home!
There you go, McCaffrey from way outside. That one made it 28-17, and well, let's put it this way, the Carolina Panthers, they're okay. Jacksonville was able to kind of muster a little bit more along the way, but nevertheless, it ended up 28-27 by the time it was all said and done. Minshew mania continues. 26 of 44, 374 yards, sacked a couple of times, a couple of touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 101.1. By the way, Clark for Jacksonville, 8 catches, 164 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Big fantasy day there. Keenan Allen, 17 of 30, and 181 yards, a touchdown. McCaffrey, 19 carries, 176 yards. The 84-yarder you heard right there, he gets into the end zone a couple of times on that contest as well. And that was on the Carolina Panthers radio network. We continue on. Got the Texans and the Falcons. Deshaun Watson, a big day. And so did the wide receiver, Will Fuller.
Deshaun gets the snap, looking left. Watson dancing, and Watson throwing downfield, and he's got Fuller across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll! Touchdown to Will Fuller, and that seals the deal. Game over.
That deal was sealed anyway. I mean, that made it 47-32. They went on to put up some more, but nevertheless, it was an interception return, and then the PAT failed. 53-32. The Texans get a win over the Falcons. What happened to the Falcons, man? That's on the Texans radio network. Deshaun Watson, 28 of 33 on the day, 426 yards, 5 touchdowns. Fuller, 16 targets, 14 catches, 217 yards, 3 touchdowns. Matt Ryan, by the way, 32 of 46, 330 yards, sacked a couple of times, 3 touchdowns and a pick. He did everything he could. Freeman only gets 11 carries, 30 yards. Smith gets 5 carries, 19 yards. They couldn't run the ball. They didn't throw the ball extremely well. The Atlanta Falcons, for what they're paying, are certainly not getting their money's worth. Then you got the Broncos and the Chargers. Joe Flacco to Cortland Sutton for the score.
Empty backfield for Flacco. Five-man pressure. Protection is good. Flacco throws wide open receiver Sutton at the 45. He pulls away. Sutton down the sideline. 30, 25, 20. Foot race to the goal line. Touchdown, Denver! Rayshon Jenkins could not get the big wide receiver of the Broncos on the ground. It is a touchdown run, catch and run of 70 yards. And Denver is in front 13-0 over the Chargers.
On the Broncos radio network, the Broncos getting the first win of the season. 20-13, they knocked off the Chargers out there in L.A. in that inflatable stadium they play in. So kudos to the Broncos for getting off the schneid. The Colts and the Chiefs, Jacoby Brissett, a one-yard touchdown. Here it is.
And they go back into a rolling right side as Jacoby Brissett looking pump fakes. Now he's going to run to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Brissett. Touchdown, INDY. Jacoby Brissett spikes the football, and the Colts have the lead.
Colts Radio Network and the Colts on the road in KC get the win, 19-13. Jacoby Brissett, 18 of 29, 151 yards, threw one pick, not a great day. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes, 22 of 39, 321 yards, had a touchdown, but he got hit all day long. Four sacks, got hurried numerous times, hurt his ankle. They had a rough day at the office, couldn't do a lot right. And ultimately, they just went toe-to-toe with a really good Colts defense. Colts get the win, go to 3-2, 19-13 Chiefs. That's their first blemish. they take a loss at home. And then the final one last night, Matt Breda takes it to the house.
In an offset eye, they move Juszczyk to the right. They wind it back. Great block by Juszczyk. Breda in the second level. He may go.
Goodbye.
But Sheed is loose. 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown!
Boom!
San Francisco on the first play from scrimmage.
There you have it. Brady gets an 83-yard touchdown run. It puts him up 7-0. He gets a 5-yard pass from Garoppolo, 14-0. He really never looked back. 31-3, the final in that one. Garoppolo, 20 of 29, 181 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, 8 of 22 for 100 yards, two picks. His quarterback rating, 13.4. Sucking swamp water. There you have it. That was on the 49ers radio network. And that is your frenzy. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
So the head coach, Matt LaFleur, one of the side notes to the game the other day was Kevin King. He has the groin injury. He's listed as doubtful. Doesn't look like he's going to play. And all of a sudden, he plays the entire game. And Matt LaFleur was asked, have you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think I have either, to be honest with you. It was one of those deals where, as he was going through his rehab, he felt pretty good at the end of Friday's practice. And our trainers kept him out afterwards and put him through some one-on-ones. And, you know, shoot, he said he felt like he could go. So that's why we upgraded him the following day.
How did he play for a guy who hadn't practiced all week?
I thought he did an excellent job. He competed. Obviously, he made the big play on the pick. But he challenged, you know, the receivers, and I thought he played a really solid game.
He did. He played a good game. Also, what happened to the Packers defense giving up over 300 yards and 24 points in that second half, man?
Yeah, no, there's far too many explosives. There's no doubt about that. I think that all the explosive gains accounted for like 361 yards. I think there was like 15 explosives or so. Not up to the standard by any means, but I thought our guys were resilient on defense and pretty opportunistic and made a couple critical plays that really propelled us and put our team in a pretty good position to win the game.
And he's right. The explosive plays in the second half, it just you know, it's one thing to give them up because you are that far ahead, but they didn't play extremely well in the second half defensively. Jair Alexander, he got the INT on the opening drive, but gave up 53-yard touchdown pass to Amari Cooper on kind of the simple down and out.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes that happens in this league, you know, especially when you're going up against, you know, one of the best receivers in this league. And so sometimes that happens, and that's why you have to have a short memory of it as a defensive back. And I think I love everything about Jair. I think he competes on each and every play. He obviously had the big play with the pick that was, you know, kind of got us going. You know, I love what he's all about, the energy he brings, and you know, I think he's a really good player.
And Jair, they just wanted him to try to keep things in front of him. Didn't do a great job, but still, it was just enough to kind of get a win. And then you've got your guys, the Smith brothers, Preston and Zadarius. They are holding joint press conference. They're just having fun, man.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I have never seen that either. And, you know, I can tell they genuinely care about each other. They've done a great job of just bringing everybody along. You see it, you know, when our guys get a turnover or whatever, they're all kind of celebrating together. And, you know, we're going to keep preaching that and trying to reinforce that. And I just love how our guys go about their business.
This team, you know, when you hear the story about, you know, the defense going to Chicago and going to dinners and these guys, you know, Preston and Zadarius keeping this thing together, has he done certain things to encourage this, or is this just on their own?
Yeah, I, you know, I just, obviously, you talk about it, but ultimately, it's about the guys. And I think it boils down to getting the right type of guys in the building. And, you know, Goody and his staff have done a great job of assembling a roster of high-character people. And I think anytime you're able to acquire good, high-character people, that you got a much better chance of that happening.
Also, you know, the decision to give up the outside zone and use inside zone plays for guys like Aaron Jones against Dallas, because, you know, Aaron Jones, he was everywhere, and they really did a good job of opening up the middle for him.
I think that's what coaching is all about. You find out what your guys do well, and or maybe where a team is vulnerable that you're playing against, and you attack that. And but I just think that's part of coaching, that's part of game planning. But ultimately, you got to know your players. You got to know what they do well, and try to put them in position to have success.
That goes back to our discussion earlier about Matt LaFleur scheming for different situations, not just saying, here's my offense, I'm going to run it. He also talks about the first and 10 Packers offense has so far run 63 run plays, 63 pass plays, and they've kept a balance. And he was asked, is that the plan?
Yeah, I think it's so game dependent. Obviously, you'd like to keep the defense guessing a little bit of whether it's going to be run or pass, but ultimately you got to do whatever you think is going to, again, help produce yards, produce points, because this game's about points. So not necessarily going into it thinking, hey, we have to be 50-50, but we better be pretty close to be as unpredictable as possible.
And they're right at that mark right now. He was asked, is it important that he got the receivers kind of to motion more pre-snap, because they're running a lot of different things that are going to lead to a lot of different pieces of play action?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little bit more suited towards the scheme, if because all that action provides a little misdirection for the defense, for the linebackers. It kind of slows them down, or shoot, it might get them out of position. So that's something that we started to do in 2017 in LA. You see them, they use it all the time. And they do Sean does a great job with that stuff. So that's something that I've kind of learned from him and incorporated into our offense.
Also, he was asked, is there a fine line on the defensive side between going after the ball and just not giving up big plays?
Yeah, I think that is a fine line, because, you know, if you are more aggressive, then a lot of times those big plays will happen for you, but you're also susceptible of giving them up. And I think, you know, it's a game-by-game basis. And, you know, obviously it can be driven situationally as well. But I think Pat has done a great job of, you know, mixing it up enough and has really stressed the importance of the ball. And our guys, again, it's a credit to the players, because they go out and they attack that ball on every snap.
And then asked how important it is to get that to get the 3-0 in the NFC North. You got the Lions coming into town. Monday Night Football, obviously a conference, obviously a divisional game.
That's absolutely critical. And we talk about the North games, and, you know, the bottom line is whoever wins this next game is going to be the leader in the North in the division. So we know we have a team that's a really good football team coming in our place playing on Monday night.
No doubt about it. Also asked, after five games into the season, what are some of the biggest, surprises in being a first-year head coach?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there's something almost on the daily basis that comes up that you're like, oh, okay. But, you know, for us, and for myself specifically, I think every week we got to hit that reset button, and you look at it as 0-0. And that's a mentality that we have each and every week. And so the goal, and I know it's probably boring to you guys, but the goal is to go 1-0 each and every week.
So there you have it. That is Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, I know it's cliche, 1-0 each and every week, but in the grand scheme of things, that's, you're just looking to get to the next win, and then we'll all decide how good the Green Bay Packers are next week if they indeed win. on Monday night against the Detroit Lions. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Come back. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hey, here's a bit of breaking news as we get ready to hear from Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. The Brewers announcing, obviously there's going to be a stadium name change this year. They haven't determined what that's going to be. And also Friday's Front Row Sports Grill is going to be no more. There is going to be a new restaurant of some type moving in there. And they have not determined what it's going to be, but Friday's Front Row not going to be there anymore. That's a tough nut because, look, during the summer months, it's great. During the winter months, tough to get clientele into the joint. Good time, good place. Been in there many times. Celebrated some brews in there many times. Used to do the post-game show in there many times. But I just knew during the winter months, that wasn't the easiest. Maybe, I don't know whose decision it was. But Friday's Front Row will no longer be Friday's Front Row. It'll be something else. We'll find out what it is later on down the road, I guess. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, we are going to be at Moe's Irish Pub. Speaking of the Front Row, if you want to come on out and join us on Thursday night, 6 to 8, Moe's Irish Pub in Wauwatosa, right there on the corner of Highway 100 and Blue Mound Road. We hope to see you there. Looking forward to seeing you at Moe's Irish Pub this coming Thursday night, 6 to 8. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, a fantastic retrospective last night, which, by the way, you can go to the radio.com app and the Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, The Fan site out of Milwaukee. They did a terrific piece, Tim and Baby Tausch. But, Tim, I tell you, for years we've been screaming it. It comes down to one or two games, and you got to value the games in April and May as much as you value the games in September and October, man.
Well, it does show you, Bill, that the division, the way the playoffs are set up in Major League Baseball these days, the division is key. It is becoming more and more prevalent because, I mean, let's face it, we're Brewers fans. So we're not that accustomed to the philosophies and strategies of the playoffs. We're getting there now because we have three consecutive pennant races late in seasons here. And you're right, Craig Counsell is a key contributor to that. But the division is the key because it keeps you away from one bad performance. All of these baseball players, no matter what, look at Bellinger, who was 0 for, what, 8 or 9 in that series to start that series in L.A. But Josh Hader in the wild card game, it just happens. The timing was so bad in that, you know, it was dinked and dunked, and before long they were bounced out because it was a one-game series. Now, I do like that. We can debate all day long whether or not you like the wild card format. But it just shows what is that you got to get that division. They were right there. The Cubs were helping out the Brewers by beating the Cardinals. And if the Brewers just continued the role that they were on, they probably were going to win the division again and at least force a game 163 in St. Louis. So long story short, win those games early on, and it's not just, quote, a long season, don't worry about it. If it's head-to-head against Cardinals, Cubs, and here come the Cincinnati Reds in the next few years, those are big, big games for the division.
So now we start to look to the offseason, and I have not really even wrapped my brain around, you know, free agents and all that kind of stuff. But I go in listening to David Stearns in that postseason presser that says he wants to keep both Moose and Yasmani Grandal. And I don't think that's smoke. I think that's a genuine desire to keep both of those guys who've been so good for this team. I hope you can, but I also believe, Tim, and I don't know where you stand on this, I also believe you need at least another starting pitcher. You have to go hedge your bets with one veteran, somebody that's out there. I'm not sitting here dissecting right now who's available. But my point is, you need one veteran. You got to go get him. Do you think so? Yes or no?
Yeah, I do. And I think it probably will be a little bit more on the higher priced side of things because you've got Braun coming off, and there's a big chunk of money after one more season. you could, well, in theory, if you don't get Grandal back, there's a huge chunk of money there. But you're right in that not just a Jordan Lyles, Wade Miley type, which have been fruitful for the Brewers the last couple of years, let's face it. But if you couple Brandon Woodruff with that guy, a higher-end sort of guy, a guy that's had big-time success and deserves the money that you're going to give him, say if Jake Arrieta, you know, rewind the clock, if they could get a Jake Arrieta now as he was pitching into that three-year deal in Philly, that's the guy to get. Give this team a 1-2 punch, which then alleviates the stress on the bullpen, because the bullpen philosophy will change a little bit here, Bill. It will. Because he's not going to pull Brandon Woodruff out of a game after 5 1/3, pitch count in the 70s, and only giving up one or two runs. That's not going to happen with Woody. Woody's a different dynamic. So put that same dynamic with another free agent pitcher, a higher-end guy, then play around with a Zach Davies in the three. Then play around with giving a guy a shot, a younger guy. Maybe it's a pop-up with Zach Brown, or maybe it's a Freddie Peralta gets another shot at this thing. Maybe Jimmy Nelson recovers. But fill 2/5 of that rotation, then play around with those guys that you can get a yeoman's effort out of. And I have no problem with Zach Davies. If Zach Davies is your four, and that's the key, if he's your four guy in a five-man rotation, you're in great shape.
When it comes to the field itself, the hole I think you have to figure out is going to be first base, obviously, what you're going to do there. The shortstop position is something that I think begins to come into play. Orlando Arcia, this is years in which he's struggled. He can't put a full offensive season together, and he's been kind of a sinkhole offensively over there. We've always relied upon his defense, but even this year, his defense wasn't up to what his normal standards are. So do you then say, look, if the opportunity presents itself, you might go in that direction?
Well, you might be forced to go in a direction of, let's minimize some holes here. Let's minimize a lot of moving parts here, because you're right. If you go around the diamond, and again, I'm still waiting to lay by a pool for a few days and really decompress and think about things. But if you go around the diamond outside of Keston Hira, who we know needs to improve defensively, that's for sure, and he will. Just organically, it's going to improve. There's no doubt. You go around the diamond, what if Grandal isn't back? Okay, now you got to get a catcher, because he's not in the system right now. You're going to have to go free agency or trade on a catcher. Let's go first baseman. If you don't pick up that option on Eric Thames, do you have a problem at first base? Yeah, some would say yes. Now you throw in shortstop. If you're right on Orlando Arcia, then maybe we entertain the idea of going in a different direction. Okay, there's a hole there. Then you get to Mike Moustakas at third base. If he doesn't come back, then you get to Travis Shaw. And that is a big one. That is one of the biggest question marks they have. And I know everybody's screaming to get another bullpen arm, get a starter, and re-sign Yasmani Grandal. But what do you do with Travis Shaw? They're going to have to tender him in about, within 3 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge question mark. He's key here, because he's versatile, third base, second base in a pinch, as we've seen. And then first base, you could always throw him over there. But you could make the argument that outside of the outfield, offensively, the infield, there's going to be some voids there.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think you can fill all the holes. But I think if you have enough offense, I think the one thing, because I'm looking forward to a bounce back year from Lorenzo Cain. I'm looking forward to a full year of Keston Hira. If you bring Moose back, there's some power numbers. You fill the void over at first base. Yasmani's good. Your outfield's solid. The only thing I think you're missing is maybe another starter and a little more depth via your bullpen, and I think you're good to go. And I think you're going to get some of the guys back that are banged up. And then I think you have enough of a pool to choose from that you're going to be okay. And then I'm really looking forward to the 2020 season.
Is it, Bill, that, yeah, and is it mandatory, and this is a big question here heading in, is it mandatory that they re-sign at least one of the two in Moustakas
yes.
and Grandal?
Yes, I think Grandal.
Yeah, and I agree.
Would Grandal be the priority? Because you don't have anything else in the catching pipeline that's going to give you 250 in power numbers.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah.
He just was. And you know what? His defense improved dramatically in the second half of the season.
Yep, no doubt. And, by the way, he came up big in the postseason. He was the guy that gave you the dinger to get you off on the right foot. Yeah. Remember last year against the Brewers, he was awful. This year, he was just the opposite. He was the guy. He was one of the bright spots in that playoff game. Tim, it was great to listen to. Absolutely.
When we sign off here, Bill, you know, this is the somber part of my season, because when I do my last hit on the Bill Michaels show here, it really has come to an end. The Brewers, I miss Bob Uecker. I miss getting ready for the show every day. I miss dissecting all of these numbers. It's a life changer, but man, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It's a life changer, but we all know that any moment breaking news is going to happen, and then we're going to be sitting right back here talking about it again.
And I'll be here for you.
You the man. Go enjoy yourself a pool somewhere, maybe Vegas, maybe a couple clubs. Go make it rain. Have yourself a good time.
You got it. Thanks, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. They've been doing it for 80-plus years. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Got a lot of things just to kind of wrap up. Wrap up. That is coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Under the heading of oops, I don't know if you've been following any of this news coming out of the NBA between the NBA and China, but the Houston Rockets owner had tweeted out some support for protesters in Hong Kong. And you don't do that if you're going to start, because the NBA is big in China, okay? So CCTV, which is the television, the Chinese state broadcasting network, basically. CCTV said, that's it. You have an owner talking about protesters. That's it. We're done. And they canceled everything with the NBA. They're not showing games. They were supposed to show a game between the Lakers and the Nets later in this week. They were supposed to show a game between the Rockets and the Raptors taking place in Shanghai. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. They over this one tweet, and then Adam Silver, by the way, who I give him credit for, he didn't completely back down. He just said, look, the league, that they're apologetic to the fact that they're sorry they offended people, but he also backed the right of expression, the freedom of expression. He said, we're not apologizing for Daryl's freedom of expression here. So I give him credit for not just completely cowering to the money that is over there in China. But Vivo, the Chinese smartphone manufacturer, joined other businesses in saying today that it's going to suspend its business with the NBA over the comments and the NBA's reaction. Vivo has been a sponsor for the Lakers-Nets game in China before, and they put a lot of money into the advertising going into this game this season. So Adam Silver is supposed to go to Shanghai tomorrow. Says he hopes to meet with the officials, including Chinese Basketball Association President Yao Ming, we remember him, and some of the league's business partners there in an effort to find some kind of common ground. He also says that he hopes Chinese officials and fans look at the totality of the impact of a three-decade-plus relationship between the league and their country, and urge them to see his response while acknowledging there are political differences between the countries. He said, look, I'm sympathetic to our interests and our partners that are upset. I don't think it's inconsistent on one hand to be sympathetic to them and at the same time stand by your principles. So, but Silver did say, look, I didn't expect the CCTV to cancel everything. But you say anything about China, man, wham, they shut the door on you. So the NBA has been, to use a basketball term, they've been boxed out of China. That's it. Done. So Adam Silver now heading over to China to try to fix things. But one tweet about the protests in China, and there you have it. So they are shutting you down. So Adam Silver's got some splaining to do, and they're going to try to rebuild and recoup some of that money from China. But that's a little bit of a controversy going on right now in the NBA. We're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to talk some baseball. Have the Brewers taken a step forward or backward as an organization? Because I got some opinions on that. We'll talk more football. Brian Baldinger is going to join us tomorrow as well. We're also going to talk some NFL injury. Dr. David Cho discusses the Packers injuries. We'll get into that discussion tomorrow. Adam McAlvey is going to be here. Our National Baseball Insider Seth Everett is going to be here. We got a lot going on tomorrow. Been a good one today, though. Great discussion. Good stuff. Thank you for being a part of it. Time for us to get out of here. Have a good one. Sweet.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.